and welcome to another episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz, and this is the podcast where I drag my co-host, Jefferson Miller, into my world of horrifying horror movies and horror things.
Oh no!
As always, with me is my fantastic co-host, Jefferson Miller. How you doing, man?
I'm, you know, living life best I can.
You know,
baby,
what they say, right? You are living la vida loca.
I have heard that somewhere. Mm-hmm.
There's a song. It goes like, I'm living la vida.
No. We can't afford that.
How does the song go? How does your version go?
My version?
Mm-hmm.
Living la vida. That's it.
No loco.
You heard that one?
No loco? No loca?
No. Not in my version.
You're just
my
living, remix. Living life.
Living, just living day to day.
It's better than dying.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a little peek behind the curtain right now. Jeff, we are currently recording this episode on...
Do you not know what day it is?
Nope. It is the 4th. Wait.
No.
Nope. Today is the 3rd.
Wait, what?
It's October.
Today is October 3rd?
Yes, it is.
But how can that be? Because this is playing on October 21st.
Yes, it is.
But we don't record that far ahead, ever.
We're doing things a little differently this month. As we mentioned, we are in...
Hurwitz's October.
And we needed to sort of jump around with the calendar a little bit. So we're recording this one. We're banking it a little early. So this will be coming out on the 4th week of
Hurwitz's Horror-tober.
So we're getting this one out of the way a little early. I may say some things like from the past tense or from the future. It'll be a little discombobulated. It may come off sounding, but
yeah, just know we're time traveling from the past
into your future or your present.
It may surprise you, but this podcast of us fucking around and talking about scary movies takes a lot of work.
You have no idea. Or maybe you do. I've probably complained to you about it.
So us doing two movies on Halloween Day made this month very complicated.
Complicated, but I'm still excited. We're keeping in theme of the spookiest time of month.
Spookiest time of year, some might say.
I think you're right.
I mean, I will. It is spooky. This October's spookier than February.
And the good news about the weather, it's finally starting to cool off a tiny, tiny bit. So instead of being like 90 degrees, it's like 89.
Yeah, baby.
So we're starting to finally feel that fall spooky weather.
Yeah. Just in time for
Hurwitz's Horror-tober.
I'm so glad I put you in charge of saying that because I still cannot remember that fully.
You keep calling it Hocktober.
Yep. Hurwitz's Hocktober.
Yeah.
But that's incorrect.
Which, I mean, could be a cool name.
I mean, I feel like with all of the posters you've been making and all of the Hurwitz's Horror-tober,
we'll just change it up.
I would know the name, but no, sure don't. I do not remember that name for the life of me.
You'll never remember.
Well, anyways, I just wanted to give you all that little peek behind the curtain of how things are going right now. They're going good, and we're just ready for this month to keep on keeping on.
That's right. And in the spirit of things, it's time for Horror Hour. So what do you got for us, Steve?
Oh, man. Well, so again, because this episode is coming out, or we're recording this episode a little early, next week we have Hellraiser on the docket. So I've been getting myself all pumped up by going back and rewatching Hellraiser 2. I did that last night because a couple episodes ago, it was like the 35th anniversary of Hellraiser 1. So I put that on in the morning for some fun. And last night I wanted just like a nice chill movie to end the evening off with. So I put on Hellraiser 2, and my God, that movie is fantastic.
Yeah, just curl up with like a little pumpkin spice latte and watch some people get ripped apart and sent to hell.
I actually had a liquid death and I had myself wrapped up in my Evil Dead 2 blanket.
That sounds more accurate.
It was spot on. Yep.
Yep.
And so I used to think I liked Hellraiser 2 a little bit better than Hellraiser 1, but I think I've kind of flip-flopped back.
Interesting.
I now think... Well, I gave Hellraiser 1 a perfect 10 out of 10.
That's right.
And I think Hellraiser 2, we are going to review that one in the future. Not for a little while, but for this moment in time, I'm going to say that's probably a 9 out of 10 for me.
Oh, wow.
There's just something about that first Hellraiser movie, bringing in and introducing the Cenobites and just the, like, not knowing anything about them. There are some things that happen in Hellraiser 2 where it's like, ah, no, the people that I love or the Cenobites that I love.
Right. It's also just hard to, like, beat an original.
True.
Like you said, it's the first time you're introduced to the characters. You really got to, like, pull out the stops to get to outdo the original of most movies.
It's difficult, but it is possible. And I still think, like, this movie is right underneath Hellraiser 1. It's mm-hmm. so close. They do a great job just, like, stepping up everything. The new Cenobite, they go into hell. You see Leviathan. It's all of these cool things. But yeah, the original, maybe it's because we had an episode dedicated to it, and going into that with a new set of eyes and a new appreciation and discussing it, I'm like, oh no, that is, yeah, the pinnacle of it.
Right.
But these two are still the best out of the entire series. And we'll see how things go with Hellraiser 2022.
Yeah. And for you guys, you'll have heard all about that a week ago.
That's right.
Time travel.
It makes no sense. Well, since we're still on that Hellraiser boat right now, I did mention as well in a previous
splash Hellraiser boat.
Choo choo. That's train. A train. honk honk.
Okay.
Like a foghorn.
Yeah.
Foghorn. Mm-hmm. Leghorn. Well, how do you do with a foghorn leghorn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Since we're still on that Hellraiser boat, I did mention I was getting God damn it. I did mention I was getting the soundtrack on vinyl from Mondo.
Yes.
And it did finally come. And I brought it in the room for all of you listeners to look at and for you, Jeff, to look at in person.
And it looks awesome. It sure you liked does. It?
Oh, man. Like, yes.
So you're saying the Hellraiser vinyl finally came.
Yes.
And then shortly after, so did you.
One might say that. But it has a fantastic cover. I'll post some pictures of it onto Instagram. I tried taking a few yesterday, but I think because the sun was blaring in and it's like a very dark cover, I was just getting like these fat lens flares or flares.
It is very subtle.
Yeah.
In a great way.
It has Pinhead's face on the front. It's kind of a side shot. On the inside, it has all the Cenobites and they're like in shadow and it has the chains going all around. It looks super cool. And the inside is designed kind of like skin or something, right?
Yeah, it looks like meat.
Yes.
Like raw skin.
And then on the very back, it has, I think, more chains on there. But it is a fantastic soundtrack. That theme is so, so good. And like you mentioned in the episode, it's not really a theme, how you would think of as a theme, but it's
right.
More
it kind
of
goes like, it kind of goes like, Hellraiser down to hell. Chains going in and you scream around Hellraiser. I'm bald and white and pale. And also I'm wearing leather. Okay. Let's continue. That classic on vinyl. Wow. That's.
Yeah. I just want everyone to know that I did. That's actually right from the soundtrack itself. I overlaid that into the audio. So
yeah. Good. Yeah. Make sure you edit that in. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. No, that's it. That's in there now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I was psyched about that. It's just such a good get. The music is so haunting and so beautiful. I'm glad to have that on vinyl. Finally, one other thing in the horror hour. You all right, man?
Yeah. Sorry, just you calling that haunting and beautiful, and then I turned my dumb ass fucking... Anyway, keep talking.
Like I was saying... In final news for the Horror Hour review roundup, we watched the most recent trailer for
Guillermo del Toro's
Thank you.
Cabinet of Curiosity.
Yeah, and I'm even more stoked. We talked about the first teaser that came out and a little bit about some of the stories there. So there's not much else really to kind of cover on that other than just like it looks good. We saw more shots of practical things, more weird things. Mm-hmm. He actually has like a cabinet. Which is, I thought that was pretty
cool. Oh, which was kind of cool. Yeah, I like how they built out a cabinet.
And like the very end scene, I think, too, or the very end shot, it was like the cabinet open.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't realize who the cast was. I didn't really look too
hard at it. I was going to say that, too. Yeah, the cast was great in this teaser.
So, some notable names that I have here are Sophia Boutella, who played the mummy in the Tom Cruise reboot, The Mummy.
Ah, right.
She was also in I'm a Spy. I'm a Kid Spy, but modern.
I don't know if I've ever seen that movie. It's a long title.
You know, it's like, ah, oh, it's James Bond, but...
But I'm a kid?
Well, he's like a teenager. Eggsy is his name. Kingsman.
Oh, I thought you were talking... I thought you were talking about the Frankie Muniz movie.
Agent Cody Banks? Agent Cody Banks. How can I forget a name like that? Come on, man. Good get your head in
Cody
the game.
Banks.
So she played like the femme fatale in that. She had the... You've watched Kingsman, right?
I think I watched one of them.
I think I made you watch that.
I didn't watch The King's Man.
That one was pretty good. First one I really liked. Second one was not great. King's Man. Third one was pretty solid. Ralph Fiennes is in it.
Yeah.
Or is it Rafe? Rafe Fiennes. He was in it. Funny that he plays M in the James Bond series.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So it was cool seeing him in a spy role. Kind of instead of being the one to give Bond orders, he was now kind of in the Bond role.
Right. That's cool. So she was in that.
Yes. So then we also have Gina Davis. We have Andrew Lincoln in The Walking Dead. Saw a brief shot of Crispin Glover.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably known for Friday the 13th, Part 4.
I might argue he's most notably known for playing Marty McFly's dad.
Hey, you say tomato, I say potato.
That's right.
We got a shot of Rupert Grint. Most notably known for...
Ron Weasley.
DJ Qualls is in this, apparently.
What? DJ's back.
We all know him from The New Guy. Is that what it was
called?
Play
that funky music.
Tim Blake Nelson. We saw him too.
Who's that?
He was the leader in The Incredible Hulk. He was in the new Watchmen series.
Okay.
I'll show you the picture of him. You'll recognize him immediately. Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Tim Blake Nelson.
Oh. I know. Yeah. And he's coming back to Marvel as the leader.
Oh, yeah. I guess he wasn't the leader in The Incredible Hulk. He was
Leading to that role. A couple of people from like some Apatow movies, I believe, are in it as well. The dude from Silicon Valley.
Charlene Yee, Martin Starr,
mm-hmm.
and some final ones to round it out. I know this is like a huge cast. Again, it's 8 stories. But we saw Peter Weller, F. Murray Abraham, and a personal favorite. I didn't see him in the trailer, but he's listed here on IMDb. David Hewlett, who we all know and love from Stargate Atlantis. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Cut in the Stargate Atlantis theme there.
Probably will. Well, that's Cabinet of Curiosities. Looks great. I'm excited. It's October 25th. Comes out on Netflix. I'm ready for some weird, spooky shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just in time for the season. So if y'all like Guillermo's del Toro's work, I definitely recommend you check it out. Thanks for having my back there, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Anytime.
And I'm sure we'll go over some of the episodes too on some of our Horror Hour review roundups. And for me, I think that's going to do it for Horror Hour. Anything on your end?
Nope.
Perfect. Well, I guess that's going to take us into today's movie. We chose specifically for this month, for the spooky season.
For this Hurwitz's Horror-tober.
Never get tired of that. People listening might, but I won't.
Oh, by the end of this, they're going to just hate it.
I hope so, because
that's
that
the
way
goal.
It'll be ingrained in their memories. And every time October comes around, it's going to enter their heads and they'll think of this podcast and they'll think of us.
They'll be ready
for
Hurwitz's Horror-tober.
Beautiful. That brings us into today's movie. We are talking Trick or Treat from 2007, written and directed by Michael Dougherty.
Jack-o'-lanterns. Putting on costumes. Handing out treats. This is the one night that the dead roam free.
You gotta be f***ing kidding me.
So, Jeff, you may recognize that name, Michael Dougherty. Does it seem familiar to you at all?
It does, but I don't know why.
Because he directed the movie Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Ah.
Which I found to be okay.
Yeah, not a fan.
But you may also recognize him from some of his writing credits. So he worked on Godzilla, King of Monsters, Godzilla vs. Kong, some bummer ones, including X-Men Apocalypse, Superman Returns, although he did write the story for Krampus, which I think we're going to be reviewing in December to kind of keep with that Christmassy theme.
I gotta say, none of those movies were very good.
Yeah.
Superman Returns was okay.
It was really boring.
Yeah. I really, really wanted to be good. Well, we don't have to get into it, but
we're saving that for our other podcast. Hey, I really wanted this to be good.
Yeah.
Where we talk about movies that we got really excited for and wanted to be good, but they were not. Yeah. Coming soon in 2023. So, Jeff, can you give us one of your fantastic recaps? What was the story?
Yeah, this movie is centered around the holiday of Halloween and its traditions and origins, loosely based in reality and just crazy stuff that happens. Honestly, it feels a lot like if someone watched the movie Halloween and then like heard about the original premise and how John Carpenter wanted to do like
the anthology
thing, where the second one would be about a different Halloween myth and then the third one would be a different one. It seems like kind of like they wanted to condense that into one movie.
Yeah.
This is less of a synopsis, I guess, and just more of an observation. So it's just like Halloween-y shit all in one movie, like trick-or-treaters and razor blades and candy and jack-o'-lanterns and pranks.
Yeah. This is a movie about four or five interwoven stories all kind of connecting at one point or another, or you see other characters appearing here and there, which I think is a very fun premise. So our movie starts off with two people who have been out and about celebrating Halloween. One is dressed as a robot. One is dressed as, I guess, a knight.
Right.
When they get back to their house, I think her name is Emma, blows out the candles, and her husband, the knight, is like, hey, shouldn't do that. She goes, I hate Halloween. Did you see her front yard? It is decked out to shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they live together.
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
But their house, is just completely covered in so many Halloween decorations. Yeah. My first note is, if you hate Halloween so much, why did you put up so many decorations?
Yeah, it was, it seems like she is a big stick in the mud, a big wet blanket, hates Halloween. And he's like, why don't we have some fun and celebrate this holiday? And she's like, how about eat shit? So,
yeah,
fun early characters.
She asked him to take down the decorations and.
Yeah, the night of Halloween.
Yeah.
Kids are still trick-or-treating. And she's like, can you get this shit out of our front yard, you idiot?
But her mom is coming over in the morning and it'll give her a heart attack if it's still up.
It's like, get a divorce.
Instead, he wants to go upstairs and put on a nature special tape.
Yeah, which is porn.
Yeah.
Well, she's like, fine, go put on the tape. I was like, tape? I wonder what that means. Like, what are they going to watch, a movie? And it was porn. Mm-hmm. It was a weird sequence, I'll say that.
He goes upstairs to do that, and she decides to take down all of the Halloween decorations.
Yeah. She's like, why don't you go start watching porno, and I'll spend 3 hours out here dismantling every Halloween decoration we have up. I'll see you upstairs in 3 to 4 hours.
I was thinking that too. Like,
you'll be primed and ready by that time. It's like, my God.
There's so many decorations up. She's like, no, I'll be up there shortly. It's like, no, you won't.
Yeah. Nice try.
So throughout all this, we also see that there is someone watching her.
Yeah. We see from their perspective, kind of like
they're wearing a mask. There's something covering their eyes.
Yeah. They're looking through something. Looks like some kind of linen, maybe.
As she's taking everything down, she gets attacked by something.
Something in a sheet.
Jumps on her, knocks her like out of the fucking yard, starts stabbing her.
Yeah, we see blood on the sheet. Some scared trick-or-treaters.
We see, I guess it's like a candy wand, it looks like. And it gets shoved right into her throat.
Yeah, like a lolly.
And she dies.
Naturally.
The husband hears some noise, or he hasn't heard her come back yet. He passed out for however long, and he starts looking around for her, and he's pulling down sheets. And finally, he pulls down one sheet and we see the wife. She's propped up and she has that big old lollipop straight in her mouth. Face. Yeah.
Also, her body parts are like hanging from a tree. Mm-hmm. And he like touched one. He's like, oh, probably just one of our decorations.
Oh, it feels so lifelike.
Yeah, it feels like an actual foot. Look, this one has my wife's wedding ring on it. Anyway,
that's attention to detail.
Guess I'll go pull off this ghost sheet. And then, it's candy cane mouthed, or not candy cane, lollipop mouthed wife head.
Yep. And then we have our intro credits. And I like that they're kind of like based around a comic book.
Yeah. Was this based on a comic book?
I don't think so.
Oh, I feel like I like that less.
Really?
Yeah.
like, it seemed a little out there. I don't know, like, why they were doing it, but I was like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of has a graphic, artistic take on it.
Knowing that this guy helped write Superman, I started to think maybe he just, like, he likes comic books.
He's just a comic book guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it shows, like, comic book covers and, like, panels of things that are going to happen, things that will happen throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. And we get our kind of our main character. His name is Sam. And he will come into play a little later on.
Right. He's kind of a small character with a round burlap sack head.
Orange little jumpsuit. Looks like a
button
child.
Button eyes, maybe?
Yeah, button eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a cool, I like the design.
Me too. So, once the credits are over, we're taken back to earlier in the evening. This movie takes place in Warren Valley, Ohio, and it is a raging Halloween festival in this town.
Yeah, I wish we had Halloweens like that here. That's cool.
Seriously.
The parade.
Reminded me of like a Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
Just everyone is all in costume in the streets. Like,
people on stilts blowing fire.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're introduced to a group of girls. They're getting ready for Halloween. They're dressed as Cinderella, Snow White.
Someone else.
Bo Peep. And then we're introduced to Red Riding Hood, who is played by Anna Paquin.
In true 2000s fashion, mm-hmm. Anna Paquin.
Yep. Best known for her role in X-Men.
As Rogue.
They're all getting their costumes together because there's this party going on in Sheep's Meadow, and they're looking for dates.
Yeah, and there's a little boy peeping into their changing rooms and watching them get changed.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, that little boy is he played Sam in the shots of the little boy running around. Yeah. So he got a nice little cameo there. One of the girls ends up talking to the cashier, invites him to go to this party. Some of the other girls meet some other people. I think some news reporters to take this party too.
And yeah, they're all kind of like rounding up men
yeah.
to go as their dates.
So they kind of bounce. And Anna Paquin's character, I think her name is Lori, ends up staying behind to look for a date.
Because as we learn, I think her older sister
mm-hmm.
is Cinderella or whatever.
Yeah.
And we learn Anna Paquin's character is new to this scenario. I think she's a virgin and like...
They specifically say that.
Yeah. Right. And that's important because it's just part of her character's arc. And so she's left behind to try and find a man for this party in the woods. Yeah. I was going to say.
We now have a kid just walking down the street, being a bit of a prick, knocking over pumpkins, being just a bit of a rude goose.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. He has a shirt that says, "This is my Halloween costume."
That is very mid-2000s right there.
Oh, totally. You know? Like, look at this prick.
He ends up going to up the stairs in a house to grab some candy, has a little sign that says, "Take only one, please." And he's just like, "Fuck that." Just starts shoveling candy into his bag.
Mm-hmm.
And we're introduced to another one of our main characters here. His name is Mr. Wilkins, and he is the school principal.
I did not pick up on that.
I think that at a certain point, this kid, his name is Charlie, says, "Oh, something, something, Principal Wilkins."
Right. Yeah. That sounds right.
Wilkins sits him down. Starts telling him about Halloween, and he's like, "Oh, I used to be like you, just being a bit of a prick, doing mm-hmm. what I wanted, smashing pumpkins." The kid's eating some chocolate, and he starts choking, and then we have a very, very gross vomit scene.
Yeah, that was a lot mm-hmm. in volume and imagery.
My notes say, "Kid starts choking. Oh my God, that's so much vomit."
Yeah, I said, "Ew, why did he throw up so much?"
Well, we soon learn right after this, Wilkins says, "Always check your candy."
Which I didn't understand. Was that saying that there was like razor blades in his candy? Like the kind of, what would
big
you call
scare.
That? Folktale or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know.
Yeah.
What is that called?
That's folktale, the legend.
The legend, I guess. Or was it poisoned?
I'm going to say it was probably poisoned.
Because that was a lot of barf.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was it blood? Or chocolate?
I feel like it was a mixture of the two because it was very dark.
Yeah.
It looked like
and
chocolate.
Like thick.
But I guarantee if you're throwing up that much, there's probably some blood in there.
Yeah, it was like a fire hose of chocolate sauce.
It just goes all down the stairs too. Ugh.
Yeah, nasty.
I think that's one of the only scenes in this that got me like a little perturbed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Got on your skin a little bit?
Got on my stairs.
Ew.
So the kid just passes out and Wilkins drags him on inside. we have some trick-or-treaters come out to the house and they're asking to, you know, for some candy. Oh, when they come up, like, Wilkins turns off the light because he hears them. And the kids see that and they just start banging on the door even harder. And they're like, we know you're in there.
Yeah. Nice try.
Yeah. I was like, damn, kids.
Damn, persistent.
So he gives him some candy and he still has like blood and like shit down his shirt.
Mm-hmm. He's covered in blood and chocolate.
And the kids are like, hey, that's a cool costume, president, or not president, Principal Wilkins. I think that's when they call him the principal. And he's like, yeah, thanks.
He's like, yeah, costume. Okay.
They get their candy and they ask to take a couple of his pumpkins for something that we will learn about later on.
Yeah. I think they said it was like for UNICEF.
Yeah. But we learn it's not for UNICEF.
It was not.
What does UNICEF need pumpkins for?
Yeah. Fucking liars.
So they fuck off and we go back outside to Wilkins' backyard and we see just a grave already open, already dug. He tosses Charlie's body in there.
It looks like there's bodies in there already. Even.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least one.
Yeah.
Might be two. So he's trying to bury that up. And there's this dog from the next door neighbor who's just making a big old racket.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up meeting another main character. His name is Mr. Krieg.
Played by Brian Cox.
Another X-Men alumni right there.
Oh, that's right.
As Stryker.
Also famously in Succession now.
I've never seen that.
Great show.
So he comes out and he's just, you can just tell he's a bit of a grump. He's trying to get his dog back in. He's like, keep your kid out of my yard. He's like, why does it smell like a dead whore out here?
Yeah, I got an NRA license in the bedstand and a rifle over my fireplace or whatever.
And Wilkins is like, oh, I'm in this hole because my septic tank exploded. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Go back on inside, Mr. Krieg. And he's whatever. He goes back inside and Wilkins is like, happy Halloween. And Krieg responds, screw you. This whole time, too. One of the bodies inside this hole starts kind of moving around and you just see him with the shovel, Mr. Wilkins, just like
jabbing
it.
The body over and over. And they're like, oh, help me or whatever.
Oh, another fun bit is that he got the dog to kind of go away and stop bothering him by chopping off one of the bodies, his fingers, and throwing it into the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
A little treat. And then this kid pops his head out and is the most annoying fucking character in this movie. Probably
his son, Billy. Dad, I'm home from trick or treating.
Dad, I want to carve a jack-o'-lantern. I want to watch a scary movie or whatever. It was like, shut up. He's like screaming into the yard. I'm like, this dude's burying dead bodies over here. And I'm more annoyed at the kid yelling at him out the second story window.
One of the responses that Wilkins has too is go inside and watch Charlie Brown. And the kid replies, Charlie Brown is an asshole. So Wilkins finally buries all the bodies. He puts a little like flower and a gnome on top. And as he's heading inside, he looks over and sees in Mr. Krieg's window, he's like banging on there. He's going like, help me, help me. And Wilkins just goes, screw you. Walks back inside and we see something just shoot out from the side and tackle Mr. Krieg to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Once Wilkins is back inside, his son is like, let's carve the pumpkin. And it looks like Wilkins is about to lose his fucking shit. And he very just spookily grabs a knife and he's like, let's go down to the basement, Billy. And they go down there and Billy's looking at something on the table, I guess the pumpkin. And Wilkins puts his hand on his kid's head.
Raises the knife in his other hand.
And he just goes down. And you think he just murdered his son.
He pulls it up and there's blood on it.
Yep.
But then it pans down and his kid is smiling and the camera pans around and it's a young boy's head.
It looks like it's Charlie's head.
Yeah, I think it's the kid who barfed chocolate, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And he said something like
the head is on this spinning table bit. So it's going around and he says, don't forget to help me with the eyes.
Spooky dookie.
Some good old father-son bonding pumpkin carving time, you know?
Yeah, gross. This is the second human jack-o'-lantern we have seen or referenced in the last two episodes.
That's right.
Three episodes.
Good catch. So now we're off to a new story. This new story begins with the trick-or-treaters that we just saw grabbing pumpkins. We're introduced to a fourth character. His name is Schrader. Something's up with these three kids because I don't know. They just seem like they're kind of like assholes.
Yeah, they're kind of rude, shitty.
They are joined by a fifth kid. Her name is Rhonda. Her house is just decorated with so much shit. It looks killer. Mm-hmm. And they have her bring a pumpkin along, and
they said something about, oh, sorry.
Well, it's just like, you can just tell, like, they're bringing her along to do something mean.
Yeah. Well, they said she's an idiot savant.
Yeah.
And, they're like, we need another pumpkin because we need eight.
They end up going to another house too, where there's, I guess, like some orgy going on, and we're introduced to, I have her name written down, Mrs. Henderson. She's throwing a party.
Dressed like a cat.
Yeah. And she offers the kids some booze too. She's like, it'll be our secret. And they're like, no, we just want,
thank you.
We just want the pumpkins. So like we said, this is a movie that intertwines. So we're kind of jumping around at different points to different stories. Mm-hmm. So if it gets a little confusing, I apologize about that. But this is where just kind of, we're going off of how the movie went. Now we flash back to the town with the whole party going on. Again, looks like Mardi Gras. It looks spectacular. We have these two people in an alley, this woman and some man wearing a mask and a hood. They're kissing, making out. And all of a sudden, this woman is bleeding all over. We see a little shot of the dude's mouth, and he has vampire teeth.
Uh-oh, vampire.
She manages to push him off, and she stumbles into the street, and she comes across our main characters from the very beginning, Robot Lady and the Knight.
Yeah, alive and well.
And she's like, help. And the guy is like, she's drunk. Just don't worry about her. And they just fuck off. And the girl looks around, and she just sees like other people just covered in blood, but they're all like having a good time.
Yeah, they're drunk and stumbling around. And
she turns around, and there's the vampire dude. And then it cuts to her being just put on the sidewalk next to like some other drunk people. And she's clearly dead. Mm-hmm. And our hooded, masked madman wanders off.
Wanders into the parade.
We end up going back to the kids now. They have arrived at the quarry, and we learn a bit about this town's dirty laundry, some urban legends that go around. There were these eight troubled / disturbed kids, and they went to a school on the outskirts of town. One Halloween, they're on their way home, and instead of taking the normal route, they go a different way. It turns out the parents paid this bus driver to do something.
Yeah. I'm assuming be rid of their children.
Yeah. The bus takes these kids to the same quarry that our trick-or-treaters are at. Mm-hmm. And we see that their hands are in chains, and he goes by every kid and he just makes sure that they're all in there. What do you think he was going to do?
I think he was going to essentially launch the bus off the edge of the quarry. Make it look like an accident, which had me thinking, but they're all in chains. They're going to be like, oh no, there's a bus accident. Never mind. All these kids are chained up to the bus. Who was driving the bus? This guy? He killed all these kids. So the plan, in my mind, not so good.
Not very well thought out. One of the kids ends up breaking free and makes a beeline straight for the front of the bus. And he just launches it straight off of the fucking...
Yeah, good job, kid. He's like, I want to go home. Off the edge. It's like, well, you should have learned what reverse is.
And that's why I was like, what was he going to do? Because either way, that bus went off the edge.
Yep. Good job. I guess he took the driver with him.
That's true. But we do see the driver escaping at the very end.
Yeah, he survives.
Bus starts to just slowly sink, and we see the bus driver crawling out. And apparently he had never been heard of or heard from since.
Yeah. I mean, you know, good job, bus driver. You did your, I mean, not good job, but he accomplished what he went out there to do, I'm assuming.
So the kids ended up getting the pumpkins. They got eight because they wanted to kind of pay tribute to the eight kids who died.
Yeah, they had to take the little quarry elevator down and leave a jack-o'-lantern for each kid at the edge of the river.
Yeah.
The quarry river. That was the plan, supposedly.
So three of the kids go down, and Rhonda and the kid dressed as the pirate have to stay up. I guess there's quote unquote a weight limit. We learn there's something else going on too.
Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda.
We now cut back to Lori, Little Red Riding Hood. She's still looking for a date.
Yeah, there's like, she keeps seeing different people being like, oh, maybe this person. And then like their boyfriend stands up out of a bush or something. And she's like, damn. Eventually she makes her way to the party, right?
She starts
walking
to head
through
there.
The woods.
Right before she heads into the woods, she sees the masked man with the hood just watching her.
Yeah, kind of like being creepy near her.
Now we go back to the kids. The lift comes up, the key's in there, and Rhonda and the pirate go on down. This is a spooky-ass quarry, let me tell you. They start hearing, like, sounds, I think, and Rhonda... No, she hears them calling out for help.
Yeah, you see their jack-o'-lanterns one by one being extinguished in the fog.
Yeah. And so Rhonda's like, let's go check it out. The pirate kid just like, nah, I'm not doing that. That kid knows what's up. So she ends up wandering through the quarry a little bit, and she gets to the very edge of the lake, and she sees like masks floating in there. And then all of a sudden, like from the ground, zombie kids start jumping up and grabbing at her. Mm-hmm. And she's just losing her shit. She's screaming and she just runs away. She ends up
falling into like a ditch and smacking her head on some rocks, quarry rocks.
Really fucking hard. Mm-hmm. And then we see the zombies kind of surrounding her, but we now find out these are the three kids that...
Yeah, they're like, oh no, we fucked up. And they start pulling off their zombie masks.
And it's, of course, led by, you know, one person in the group who just... is just mean for being...
Just a mean girl.
Yeah. And Schrader, the kid who's kind of like trying to be nice to Rhonda, but also the fact he's involved in this, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, not so nice.
And he's like, you know, the joke's over. Like,
yeah, you scared her to death. What else do you want?
Yeah. But I mean, like, you still did it. So what does that say about him?
Right.
She wakes up and I love this part because her immediate reaction is to just like slap or punch one of the kids because, you know, she doesn't know it's a prank and she wakes up. Ah, boom. And then she runs and they're like, no, it's OK. It's just us. Mm-hmm.
And the pirate kid is there with them in a costume as well. So that's the real reason he stayed behind. Not because he was actually scared.
Yeah. She was running back towards the left. And I think like one of the zombie things was like, over him, and it looked like his insides were being pulled out.
Pretending to eat his insides, but he was in on it.
So they start heading back to the lift, and two of the kids start kicking like the pumpkins in the water, and they start hearing now whispers and voices over the wind. And this is when we see some actual zombie kids start to come up. They come out of the water, they come out of the ground, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Rhonda, Schrader, and the pirate here screaming, and the two girls, they start running back to the lift. One girl who has chains as part of her costume ended up being her downfall because one of the zombies fucking grabs it and just yanks her back. And you just hear like this squelching as she's being murdered.
Yeah, gross.
Rhonda is in the lift at this point now.
Yeah.
She closes it. And
they all run back and they're like, help, help, help. Like, let us up. Let's go up. And she's just straight faced.
Yep. She closes the lift and she turns
around to get the key and sees the key on the ground and she picks it up. And they're all screaming for help. And then she goes to put the key in to unlock the gate to let them in. And then goes just past it and hits the up button. And then goes and is brought to safety as they're surrounded by zombie kids.
I love the shot, too, where it was like her like looking down as she was going up. And it's like, oh.
And she just waves at them. It's like, damn.
It's fucking brutal.
Cold hearted.
And we hear more squelching and screaming and just these kids are dead. They are so dead.
Yeah.
Rhonda gets up to the top and we get another little appearance of Sam. He's just kind of hanging out, watching her. And they're just like,
always around.
They're just two ships passing because they just walk past each other. And I'm sure Sam goes to murder some kids too down there. And that's essentially Rhonda's story right there. She's very knowledgeable about Halloween too. She like starts schooling all the kids a little bit earlier and like the customs, the backgrounds. And I'm like, damn.
I thought that was going to come into play. I thought she was going to be a witch or something.
I thought
she was dressed too. She was dressed as one.
I feel like maybe, yeah, that was something they didn't elaborate on, but right. I got that impression like 200%.
Yeah.
We're now back with Lori, Little Red Riding Hood. She got a call from her sister who says, guess what? I found you a date. Come on over. So Lori starts heading in that direction to the party, but she's also now being stalked by the masked cloaked man.
Yeah. And his like S&M mask.
Is he a Dracula? Could be.
Could be.
And then the masked man attacks her. Looks like he starts, he does actually bite her too, right? Mm-hmm. And then the camera cuts. The next scene is at this party. There's like this big campfire. It's everyone just kind of celebrating. And there's a woman who screams. And we just see this body wrapped in a red cloak fly out of somewhere.
Like out of a tree,
maybe? My notes just say, where did that body fall from?
Yeah, it just kind of like... Yeah, you just heard a thump and it kind of fell from nowhere.
Flying through the air. So it was either thrown or it was strategically placed and then released.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what was happening there.
Well, the body falls and everyone is like, oh no, what is it? And the sister cloak approaches.
That Little Red Riding Hood was wearing.
Yeah. And then out of the woods walks Lori. She's not wearing a cloak.
She's also like her hair looks different.
Uh-huh.
I think she has different makeup on.
Probably.
She looks completely different.
Mm-hmm.
She looks more like, look how sexy and confident I am now.
Yep.
Without my red cloak.
So the red cloak is pulled back and it is revealed to be the masked cloaked man.
Yeah, the vampire.
And we're shown even more of who he is by the sister taking off the mask.
Mr. Wilkins.
It's Mr. Wilkins. And he's like,
you dastardly kids meddling with my plan.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling women. And so, yeah, it's Mr. Wilkins. And then the sister even like pulls out the vampire teeth.
Yeah, reaches in his teeth and
prosthetics. And the whole time he's like, help me. Help me.
And he looks kind of like worse for wear.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe he got a little 1-2 punch.
He definitely did. And a scene that I'm sure you hated was the cloak gets pulled back and you see his leg is like just broken too.
Yeah, there's bones, like bones sticking out of it.
Yeah. I immediately thought of you at that. I was like, oh, Jeff is going to love this.
Yeah. Gross.
And so we now, I think this might've been this absolutely was my favorite part. This scene right here and the music that starts playing, it's Marilyn Manson's.
Oh yeah. I have it. I wrote this note down. The most 2007 song I could imagine.
And that in my notes too.
Travel the world by the seven seas. I was like, oh.
Everybody's looking for something.
Yeah, sweet dreams, comma, appropriate.
And then they all start stripping?
They start stripping. Lori's character says something about, ooh, be gentle with me, it's my first time, as she straddles him. And things start to happen.
They start getting fangs and stuff. And I was like, oh, so they are. This guy was pretending to be a vampire because he's a psycho. And these are all actually vampires.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, but why are they getting naked?
Yep.
And they're all just stripping down.
Mm-hmm.
And then
It takes a turn
and someone peels off their skin. But it's like a rubber suit. I don't think it was supposed to be, but it definitely looked like it.
So one of the girls takes her nail and starts running it down the back of another girl.
Right.
And opening it up. And is that what you're talking about with like the rubber suit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that starts happening.
It's like fake skin almost. Instead of like I've seen.
You've seen Hellraiser where people's skin is just thin and flies right off.
Yeah. But this almost looked more like, oh, we made human suits.
Yeah.
It was less like we're sprouting from our skin. And it was more like we have human costumes on.
Maybe it was because it was that time of the year with the transformation happening that like their skin. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a theory right now.
OK, but we haven't mentioned what I'm assuming you guys have guessed at this point.
Oh, yeah. OK, so not only are they using their nails to like cut open skin from the back, but also they're like taking off like the flesh from their arm and their leg. My notes just say so much skin is everywhere. And they're just tossing it off to the side and they're dancing. And, well, give us the big reveal, Jeff.
Yeah, we see these women stripping their latex human skin off to reveal werewolves.
Oh, man, sexy werewolves. Again, as Sweet Dreams is playing underneath everything. Yep. It's fantastic.
It's like Coyote Ugly, except werewolves.
With werewolf actual. It should be called Werewolf Ugly.
Oh,
nah, I did not like that.
Everybody, it's like they're. Oh my god, I don't know why I didn't even. They're stripping.
Yep.
Into werewolves. Yep. I did not make that connection. That because they're like dancing and doing little like hip gyrations, sexy werewolf time. I was like, what is this? What the fuck am I watching right now? A nice mixture of kind of dated physical effects with like kind of stiff looking werewolf heads howling at the moon and some kind of too early visual like CG effects where it's like, oh no, this reminds me of like the Angel TV show where like Anna Paquin looks up at the moon and her face kind of wrinkles.
I was
going to
say, that's the only part that I was like, ooh.
I was like, no. And then she looks down and it's gone for some reason.
So I think I read on IMDb that the person who designed the werewolves for this also designed the lichens for the Underworld series. And I can definitely kind of see that. Like, they're the very long, like, elongated snouts.
I also very much hated the lichens from the Underworld series.
Well, that would explain this. So going back to Anna Paquin's character, Lori, there are some lines that were said that now start to make sense. Like when her sister called her a virgin, and then she says to Professor Wilkins or Dr. Wilkins, Mr. Wilkins, you know, be gentle. This is my first time, as she's getting ready to just start eating him. Mm-hmm. And there was another line her sister said where it was, Mom always said she was the runt of the litter. And it's all these like context things that could be taken one way, mm-hmm. but it's actually referring to werewolfness.
Werewolfness. And then they seemingly eat Mr. Wilkins.
Yeah, we see shots of these the other men, the dates that the sisters and other people brought. Right. They're all like dead. They're like their throats
and
are
torn
out. And
they're all circling this bonfire.
Yeah.
So I have a question about this.
Shoot.
The timeline, I'm not fully understanding.
Yes.
Because we have later on in the movie, it kind of circles back, right? And it meets up with how the movie started, with the couple, yes, being killed and Mr. Wilkins burying the kids that he, the kid that he killed with the chocolate candy and all that.
That was earlier though.
But that was a flash. That was in the beginning. And then it flashes back, because when it meets back up to old man Brian Creed? Cox.
Yeah.
It's his perspective of Mr. Wilkins burying the kid.
Yes and no.
So didn't Mr. Wilkins have to poison the kid after being werewolfed?
No, because during Mr. Wilkins' I guess little segment of burying the bodies, he keeps telling Billy like, I can't.
Oh, because I have to go to the parade.
I have to go to the parade. So when you see Krieg getting attacked, there's a time jump towards the end of Mr. Krieg's story.
There's some timeline
jumping around
that I was confused by while I was watching the movie.
Yeah.
I wrote down a note. How did that happen?
Well, just to round out the sexy werewolf story, as all of the werewolves are eating all of the men, we have Sam once again just hanging out on a log, just his little legs are swinging, and he's just watched the whole thing happen. Like we've just been saying, there are a couple time jumps in this. After the sexy werewolf time, we jump back into the past. We go back to earlier, and we have Mr. Krieg's story from all of this.
Mm.
So there are some trick-or-treaters who approach his door, and the door opens up, and they're chased by what sounds like a savage, vicious creature. And it turns out it's not. It's just his dog that he puts like a little mask on, and it has like glowing eyes. And I think it's actually a bit of a funny moment.
Oh, misdirect. Looks kind of like Wishbone.
It does. That's what it looked like.
What story, Wishbone?
Wishbone.
That's the story.
That actually sounded exactly like the dog. That was good. So the kids, they run off from the dog, and Mr. Krieg just picks up their bags of candy and he goes back inside and just starts eating it.
Yeah.
Like the cool guy that he is.
But he doesn't like it.
No, he's just like, I mean, he spits it back out.
He took one bite of a chocolate bar and was like, ew, and then takes a swig of whiskey. I was like, wow, you're cool. You're a fun guy.
Cool guy. So this is when he starts hearing like someone running around on his property, and he goes to the window and like an egg or something gets like thrown at it. And he's like, must be kids. Goes out and just grabs a baseball bat from his closet.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we circle back to we meet up with the first scene.
That's
where,
right,
he sees Mr. Wilkins in his backyard hanging out in a hole, you know, what we know as a grave.
Mm-hmm.
But what he thinks is a septic tank.
Malfunction. Krieg hears his dog barking, and yeah, he goes outside. We see the conversation from his perspective, which, mm-hmm, I like. I like the seeing two different sides of a story there.
Yeah.
And it again ends with happy Halloween. Screw you. And Krieg goes inside. He keeps hearing noises and he goes out to his front yard now. And it is just decorated with pumpkins and things everywhere. And he's just like, what?
And he goes to smash one of the pumpkins. And then he hears his dog inside. Rawr, 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 rawr.
Someone is in the house. You hear like footsteps upstairs. And this line I had to write down. Well, zippity-doo-dah. And he grabs a shotgun.
Badass.
He's at the bottom of the stairs and he looks up and he tries turning the light on and the light blows out. And when it does that, you just see a little fucking, you see Sam, mm-hmm, running straight past. And I like that shot. It's one of those just like spooky, someone's in my house.
Yeah. Because
he like in his shoes, he's like, what the shit is that?
Mm-hmm.
He goes upstairs and he enters his room. And all of a sudden there's like this pumpkin in the corner just boom, lights up. It's on fire. It is glowing.
It's ablaze.
And as he's looking at the pumpkin, it's lighting up parts of the room, and it just says, trick or treat, give me something good to eat. Right. And it looks like blood just on the ceiling, on the walls, and it's like going around. And we have a shot that reminded me a lot of the scene from Pet Sematary where someone gets their Achilles tendon cut.
Yikes.
Yep. Sam is underneath the bed. And I like this little bit of detail where it was a razor blade inside of a candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like that story. It's the whole warning that right. Mr. Wilkins was giving the kid.
That's his weapon. Yeah, he like peels back the wrapper and yeah. it shows the little razor blade sticking out of a chocolate bar.
I thought that was cute.
I've seen like toys of this character.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's him holding the little, like he comes with the little candy bar with a razor blade in it.
It's funny, right?
A fun kid's toy.
So Krieg is just upset. He goes to like fire off the shotgun and Sam is gone. And he's just like, fuck, oh, I don't know what the hell's happening. And this is when Mr. Krieg gets home alone. He tries going down the stairs and there's like gumballs and mm-hmm. other things. And he just slips and eats shit, hits the bottom of the floor.
Yeah, that was gross.
And this is now when we learn, oh, this is like Home Alone, but the M-rated version, because mm-hmm. there's also like glass and razors all on the ground.
Yeah.
And he looks at his hands and there's just glass in them and he's bleeding. He's like, oh, I need to get out of here.
This is the part of the movie where I was kind of like, okay.
I mean, at least it was towards the end.
Yeah, I was like, all right, let's get, come on, moving along. Razor blades in the hands.
And glass, please.
And glass, to be fair.
And so he has 8 locks on his door. And this ends up sort of being his downfall. He's trying to get them all open while, you know, his hands are all fucked up. And we have a perspective shot of it's his face and you see the ceiling behind him with nothing. It flashes back a couple times and you just see Sam crawling on the ceiling like Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, Spider-Sam.
Gonna put a razor blade in your butt.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think of anything wrong with Sam that fast. So Sam drops from the ceiling and they start to just like fucking fight with each other. And Krieg is like punching him and he manages to slam Sam into the wall, seemingly incapacitating him. Krieg goes to the window and he starts banging on it because he sees Wilkins. Again, this is connecting the story from, you know, Krieg's perspective now.
Mm-hmm.
Help me, help me. Wilkins goes, screw you, walks inside. And now we get to actually see what it was that tackled Krieg. It was Sam. Sam just smashes into him. I just really like, I don't know, I like seeing somebody standing somewhere and then just something coming out of nowhere, knocking them to the ground. So I don't know, that just makes me laugh. So Krieg manages to tear off Sam's mask. And how would you describe this?
He has like a pumpkin head underneath this mask, except with like a weird alien face.
Yeah.
It's like a warped pumpkin alien head.
It's got like triangle eyes. I didn't, but that's why I liked it.
I liked the design of him with his little mask on.
Mm-hmm.
Something about his little pumpkin head made me mad. His mask came off and I was like, no,
put that back on.
Put that back on. I don't want this.
Guess that's why he wears it.
Yep.
Because he's ashamed.
Yeah.
And you're just.
He should be. His little tiny, annoying chin.
It was tiny and annoying.
Yeah, huh? I was just like, you little bastard. I was rooting for you.
We all were. Well, this creature now ends up biting into Krieg's leg, too. And it's like trying to eat him. And Krieg, thankfully, still has his shotgun handy, and he just blasts that fucking thing across the floor into the opposite wall.
Mm-hmm.
I always say this, but I always have to bring it up because not enough characters do this, is he walks up to Sam, he looks at it, and he just shoots it like 3 more times. He blasts off its hand, he shoots it like in the chest and maybe 1 more time in the head. That's what you need to do in a situation like this, Jeff.
I do appreciate that his like guts were like pumpkin innards.
Yeah.
And like that where part, his I was head, like, okay, that's
where we got shot in the head. There was like pumpkin seeds and stuff.
Yeah. I was like, good attention to detail there. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
While I hate the design of his actual face,
mm-hmm.
I do like that he was filled with pumpkin goo.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So it looks like Sam is finally dead. Wilkins calls the police, and I didn't realize that there was a bit of a Superman cameo here.
Oh, really?
Yes. So when Wilkins is calling the police, they go like, hello, 911, please hold. And Wilkins is like, please hold. And there's that music that's playing, and it's the Can You Read My Mind song from Superman.
What? I did not pick up on that.
The movie. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I didn't realize that until the end credits. I think I just left it on. I was fucking around on my phone and I looked up and it said, like, we thank DC. We thank Superman for letting us use this theme or whatever. And I was like,
that's crazy.
What the shit?
Can you read my mind?
I wish they had left that in
the
movie.
Da, 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 da. Fun fact about Superman, she was originally supposed to sing that, sing to that song instead of speak that part. That was the song that she read instead.
It was going to have lyrics?
Yeah, it was the, can you read my mind? Was supposed to be, can you read my mind? And I don't know if they shot it or not, but they're like, all right, this is weird. We made a mistake. So they changed it. So she just talks over it.
Oh.
Like, do you know what I'm thinking? Or if she has like a weird little monologue. Either way, that scene was weird, but that's besides the point.
Well, as soon as I saw that, I thought that was a fun fact that you would have really gotten a kick out of. I wanted to tell you before, like, listen to the music on the phone call, but I also thought maybe you would have caught that. And I wanted
I'm so surprised I didn't.
It's just like such a short
little tune. I even had like headphones in it. Like, I was zoned in on that scene and nothing.
Yeah. Probably going to go back and check it out.
Too angry about this fucking kid's little pumpkin Sour Patch face.
It is really bothering you.
It's such an opportunity. I love jack-o'-lanterns. I love characters with jack-o'-lantern heads. What a beautiful opportunity. And then they make it this little punchable little face.
But I like that though. Like I think that makes the character.
It felt like those kids who like Halloween and they're like, I wear an ugly clown mask and it has a little butt chin and like fangs. It's just like, I hate you. I hate you. And I hate your version of Halloween.
You tell those kids.
Yeah. That's why I go out on Halloween and I trip kids that are wearing little sour puss face masks. So,
well, if you are one of those kids wearing one of those masks,
better watch out.
Some people have Michael Myers stalking them. Some people have Jason Voorhees. You might have Jefferson Miller.
That's right.
Coming to punch you in the face.
Yeah. If you see an average height, white bearded guy, which good luck, dude. I blend into the crowd.
They'll never
see
it
coming. And then a swift leg comes from nowhere. And the next thing you know, you're on your back and your candy's gone. Wear a better mask next time, you fucking idiot.
That's a lesson they will never forget.
That's right. We're, you know?
Well, you have your warning here. If you choose to go about wearing that dumb chin and that dumb mask, this is now on you.
Yeah. Your fault, not mine.
A, for going out there like that. And then B, you probably didn't hear it because you weren't listening to the podcast. Shame on you.
Shame on you.
You should be listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Swift leg of justice.
I don't know why I'm saying it to the people who are listening, though. You tell those people.
Yeah, you spread the word.
Listeners, spread it. Those words. Tell them.
I'm just going to edit that part of the podcast. Listeners, spread it. Anyway.
Yep. So the phone that Krieg is on gets disconnected and he ends up getting stabbed in the foot. And you just see a little fucking hand crawling around. He like kicks it away and he's like,
you gotta be fucking kidding me.
So you see the hand slowly start to crawl back to Sam and it reattaches itself. And Sam is still alive. Sam is going straight up to Krieg now. He's got that
little pumpkin lollipop, I believe.
Yeah, and we see the origin of that now. He takes a bite out of it, and that's why it's kind of shaped like that wand that we saw in the very beginning. That's
it's sharp.
Yeah, it's ready to kill some people. And he raises it up, and he brings it right on down. Krieg is screaming, and then he stops.
And he looks down.
What does he see?
He sees that little sharp candy lollipop stabbed right into that chocolate bar that he was trying to eat earlier.
Saved by the candy bar.
That's right. For some reason. Why didn't he pull back and then stab him again? He was trying to kill him, right? He just gave up?
I guess.
He changed his mind?
Maybe it's because he's like a Halloween creature and he got some candy. He's like, all right, I'll take candy.
Trick or treat. So maybe this whole time he could have given him a candy. Give me something good to eat.
Yeah.
The blood on the walls. He's like, I just want candy. But if you don't give me fucking candy, I will kill you.
And that's, I guess, exactly what happened.
Right, because the whole thing about, they say the origin of Halloween is they're supposed to, like, give treats to the dead or whatever.
And there are certain
traditions.
And so
that turned into, like, trick-or-treating.
Yeah, okay.
So Sam could be put at bay this entire time by just if you had given him candy.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I didn't
pick up on together. That until just now.
I just assumed maybe he's just like, all right, I'll take candy instead of killing you today.
Right. Because I was like, that was my last note, was like, why did he spare his life?
Got me. Well, Sam takes the candy bar and he just leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Door opens up for him. Door closes. We then see a picture of the bus driver and a bunch of kids. Turns out Mr. Krieg was that bus driver. This is, I think, where the timeline for you got a little confused. Because the next scene is of Krieg. He is like, his arm is wrapped up in bandages and he's got bandages around his head and he has trick-or-treaters coming to him. And you start to see everyone kind of coming together.
Mm-hmm.
So after Sam left...
There's a jump.
Yes, it went...
Because he wouldn't have been bandaged otherwise.
Exactly. So it went into the future from that point. And so I want to say that the events of like the werewolf thing and the zombie kids, that's when that took place.
That makes sense.
And now we're moving up into... Well, we're at the very end of the movie. We're all caught up with everybody.
Right.
Krieg is handing out candy. We see a shot of Billy sitting on the stairs. And it looks like he's handing out candy, but it looks like he's dressed as his dad from earlier.
Because mm-hmm.
he's wearing like the little tie, the little white suit. And there's like that stain of blood that was down Wilkins's shirt.
Right.
And he's wearing glasses. And I'm like, oh, that's cute.
Cute.
You're dressed as a murderer.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, but you are a murderer.
Yeah.
Checks
he also
out.
Carves up other kids' heads and stuff.
Yeah. Then we see Rhonda returning from the quarry. She has her little wagon and her pumpkin. She's crossing the street. And then we see the werewolf girls nearly hit Rhonda, but they're laughing, having a good time. They're on their way to who knows what.
Werewolf party number two.
The next werewolf party. And everything's come full circle. We see the robot and the knight outside of the front of their house. And then we also just see Sam watching Krieg again. And Krieg just stands there, looks at him. And then we start to hear more of the conversation from Robot Lady and the knight, where the knight, he's telling his wife again, like, hey, don't blow out the candle because that's what protects you from evil spirits. I wouldn't do that. There are certain traditions. It's just, you know, ancient folklore, ancient things that we do. And the wife is like, blah, blah.
I hate Halloween.
Even though earlier at some other point when you saw them like at the festival, she was like, I love Halloween. Make up your mind.
Yeah, come on.
And so once this candle gets blown out, that's when you see Sam just waltz on over. And that is what starts the beginning of the movie.
Pulls out his little sharp lollipop that he's had shoved into her mouth in the beginning.
That's right. I like that Krieg is now just handing out candy.
Yeah.
He's like, I got taught a lesson.
Right.
If I don't, this fucking kid is going to come, or this fucking pumpkin thing is going to come in and try and kill me again.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So he gets one final knock on the door and he opens it. And we see the zombie kids. It turns out they're back for revenge.
The kids he killed indirectly.
So remember how I said there were 8 locks on his door?
Oh.
8 locks for each kid.
Right.
That makes sense there.
Yeah.
And then the very final scene is in comic book form, and it is of them murdering Mr. Krieg. And that brings us to the end of this movie here.
That's right.
This Halloween trick or treat movie. Well, as always, Jeff, I got to ask you, what did you think of this movie?
I'm going to give it a big ol' kind of shrug.
Okay.
It was okay. It was very, you know, felt like it was from 2007.
It certainly did.
A little angsty for my blood.
Yep.
I appreciated all the Halloween elements, all the classic, you know me, all the classic Halloween shit. Like, I liked that they featured like some werewolf stuff and witchy stuff and jack-o'-lanterns and zombies. It felt like they're trying to kind of get elements from all of the different Halloween staples.
Totally.
Was it the direction that I would want them to go in? No, but that part of it I liked. Otherwise, yeah, the story was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the whole thing with the dude being killed by a little angry pumpkin boy was like, just kind of, I don't know, like as soon as that started, I was already over it. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, whatever. I just have to sit through this part. So yeah, overall, it was okay.
You said that this isn't the direction you would have taken it in. What direction would you have? What would you have done to, I guess, differently?
Well, see, the problem is that it was a horror movie.
That's all right. Fair.
See, true. The direction I would have gone would be more
like a fun thing,
more spooky, less like, oh, no, my hands are covered in razor blades and more like lean, like maybe give I forget her name, but the witchy girl, give her some more witchy shit to do, like maybe hint at, like, you know, she
Rhonda,
she walks through the street and you can see like a broom in her fucking thing or whatever. It's like she can do some like spells or do curses or do just more of that kind of stuff, and like make the, like, the Sam, his design could have been more like a classic jack-o'-lantern, and
like the face underneath.
Yeah, like it pulls off and he has a full jack-o'-lantern head with like flickering candle eyes, and he does pranks instead of like literally murdering people. Like, I would just pull it more to like a, yeah, like a fun Halloween spooky, like to call back to our Monster Squad episode, like the mummy getting unraveled and being invisible underneath and there being dust. Versus like if his little leg was unraveled and there was like ground meat falling out. Those are like the two, you know what I mean? This was the ground meat version. I'd prefer more like a,
it's a really good comparison. Yeah, actually. Yeah. That's brilliant.
You know? So it's like more spooky, kind of fantastical. That's the word I was looking for.
Sure.
Instead of horror, more like fantastical.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of direction I would go.
I would like to see that. That'd be pretty fun. You should direct a movie.
Someday maybe.
Would you call it?
And it'll be terrible. And then there'll be a podcast talking about my movie. Like, this movie sucked. Wait, why was that? No. The little chin. I'm going to go kick some kids and then I'll get a little taste of my own medicine.
Well,
what was your, so what was your takeaway? I believe you had a good time.
Yeah. So the very first time I saw this, I think I watched it with you were there, but I definitely watched it with guest of the show, James Miller. We all used to live together. Mm-hmm. And we put it on just for fun and I was really into it. I think I probably fell asleep towards the end because I definitely remember like the first at least 45 minutes. I remember up to the werewolf bit, the Krieg stuff after I'd watched it after. I was like, oh shit, this is insane.
Yeah, I remember you guys would often put on movies, this type of movie at like 2 a.m.
Oh yeah.
I'd be going to bed so I could wake up at 3 to go work at Kohl's and you guys would be in the living room watching like Gamora, whatever, like
Dagon
and Trick or Treat. Totally. Yeah. That sounds about right.
And so I enjoyed what I saw at that point. I watched it again, maybe a year or so later. It's like, oh, that was all right. And the most recent time I put it on was, I think, almost a year ago, because it was around the Halloween time. I'd rented it because I wanted some more Halloween shit. Mm-hmm. And I watched it and I was like, that was okay. That was all right.
Yeah.
And then rewatching it this time, I fell back and I'm like, this is a fun movie. I, like you, I enjoy that it incorporates so many Halloween elements, such as the werewolves, the zombies, all of that. I like Sam. I like the creature design. It's weird. I like the pumpkinness that, like, you know, he has seeds and stuff, pumpkin filling. Mm-hmm. It's not as gory as I remember it either. Like, there really not is
gore wise,
not
too bad, honestly.
Yeah. The deaths were fairly tame. Yeah, I think it's a fun interweaving story about Halloween, and I enjoy it. It's not one of my favorites, but I think it's one that people who are looking for something Halloweeny, I think they should watch.
I definitely would say, like, give it a shot.
Yeah.
Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not good. It's just not my
cup of tea. Yeah.
But I appreciate what they're doing. So yeah, I think definitely check it out and see what you think of the movie.
Out of 5 razor blades and a chocolate bar, how many razor blades and a chocolate bar would you give this movie?
I'm going to say I would put 3 razor blades in the chocolate bar.
Cool.
For this movie.
Wow. That's higher than I thought it would be.
3 out of 5. Yeah. That feels pretty high.
Yeah.
Can I snap a razor blade in half or no?
I'll allow it.
Okay, I'd probably say 2 razor blades and a broken razor blade.
That checks out. 2.5. That seems more right.
Yeah, yeah, out of 5.
All right.
That's a half. Failing, but, you know. How many razor blades in a chocolate bar would you give this movie?
I would give this 3 solid razor blades in a chocolate bar.
Okay, yeah.
Like I said, it's not my favorite.
Some fun elements.
It's fun. This might be something I would watch maybe once every Halloween or in around the season to kind of get into that mood. I like it, but I don't like it that much.
Yeah, I would pick so many other movies over this.
Mm-hmm. But like in a Halloween sense?
Oh, yeah, specifically.
Okay.
I wouldn't watch this in ever any again. Other setting. And then even on like around Halloween, it's called Trick or Treat. It's super Halloween-y, and I would still kind of be like, there's other movies we could watch. Like, hell, the new Halloween movie, I'd watch that over this on around Halloween. All the most Scream movies.
We're talking about 2018?
2018, or? Yeah. Don't know if I would put on, I might put on the original. I did say originally that I would, but God, it is quite slow.
This is a movie I would like put on at a party in the background.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like people wandering around from room to room. Maybe some people are playing beer pong in one room. And then some people in the living room just kind of want to watch a little bit of a movie and eat some snacks. Or
are we talking? You glance over and there's like a weird creature with a pumpkin head.
Yeah.
Eating candy or whatever. You're like, yeah, okay, that checks out.
Yep, it's in theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I feel about this movie.
Nice.
Well, Jeff, we here in Hurwitz's House of Horror are starting a new segment, which may or may not stick around. We'll see. This bit is called Love It or Hate It. 1 5-star review and 1 1-star review that people have given this movie. Literally opposite ends of the spectrum.
Trisha Sloan on Amazon says, don't believe the high ratings. Spoiler alert, I agree with a lot of reviewers. This is a good movie for a 12-year-old or very drunk adults. Puking, slutty girls, parent teaching their kid to be a sociopath, really? I liked how things were tied together in pieces, but there isn't really much of a story. It was recommended to me and is the only reason I gave it a try. Ugh, what a waste of 2 hours. I could have been scrubbing a toilet or something. So she liked it. 1 star.
Well, from Octavian Call on Letterboxd. Wow, 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 wow. A magical movie made so much better on the big screen. Almost teared up at one point because of how awesome it is to see it like this. Thanks, Mike. Watch Trick or Treat in theaters. 5 stars.
Nice.
So, yeah, those are two opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, there. So, you know, you going to believe Trisha?
Going to believe Octavian?
Are you going to believe one of us?
I'd say go with us.
Agreed.
I don't know Octavian or Trisha.
Yeah. Heck, they could be Sam in disguise.
Or murderers.
Which, maybe you believe them more, I don't know. They're like, come on, nobody does it like this.
And that was our segment. I already forgot the name of it, so.
It could be called Up and Down. It could be called, what do you think? What do you think? It could be called Top and Bottom.
Okay. And with that, that's going to wrap up this week's episode. Jeff, take us home.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening to episode whatever number this was.
21?
21, possibly.
I think so.
Yeah, that's right, because we skipped over. Again, we're recording this a week before episode 20.
That's right. Yep, which will be Hellraiser.
And you'll be listening to it a week after.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for listening to episode 20 last week. This week's episode 21. Rate us 5 stars.
You can do it in app on some of these, like Apple Podcasts. It's real easy. 5 stars. You leave it, we will read out any reviews that y'all leave for us. But yep. It has to be 5 stars.
Yeah, it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Hurwitz's House of Horror on Instagram. Go to Hurwitz's House of Horror.com. Pick up some t-shirts, some hoodies, some stickers.
Get it all, baby.
Yeah, baby.
And don't forget, you can find Jeff on Instagram at Art of Jefferson Miller.
Yep.
Got some great prints as always. Thank you again, everyone, for listening to week 4 of
Hurwitz's Horror-tober.
Just as a reminder for everyone, next week's episode will not be released on the 29th. Sorry, I had to look at the calendar right there. But it will be released on October 31st on Halloween as our Halloween special as
Hurwitz's Horror-tober
comes to an end with the very long and special episode where we cover Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends.
Our extra spooky Halloween spectacular.
Just what everyone wants, to hear us talk even more and even longer. Thank you again, as always. And as we say at the end of every episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
7 seas.